Chapter 1, Meeting. It was 18th of January, 1996, at 12 midnight, on a cold morning. I, Christopher Flyer, sat on the 23rd floor in my well-earned and deserved position with Bellagio Riders. It is a publishing company in Paris. I am a well-known 5-time award-winning best-selling novelist. On that day, I remember I had a Cuban cigar stuck between my fingers, while my other hand held a glass of Debonair white rum. I held it for longer than a minute as I pondered for ideas. Before I continue my story, I should tell you that I am a tall, dark-skinned, and mildly built 42-year-old man. I would also like to add that I have been carrying on an item with me since I found as a boy. As I sat silently in the dark and quiet room, my mind was bustling with noises of clashing ideas running through my mind. I wrote with less enthusiasm and appreciation for my heart, but more pressure to write another story worth. I ran my hand through my dark curly hair as I looked at the bright computer screen. Reading part of my work to myself, the book was named Eternal Transformation. Vic Scanner sat on the porch by his television asking himself, is it better to have loved and lost than not to have loved at all? He could not answer that question amid his present situation. Barbara was the only girl for me, and she left me at the altar for my friend. Vic complained in distraught. Vic was a 35-year-old, 5-foot and 6 inches overweight sales manager at a car company. His girlfriend, Barbara, had been cheating on him for the past 5 years that they had been together. Furthermore, she was controlling and always maltreated Vic. He was infatuated with Barbara. He overlooked a lot of tales that Barbara was not committed to the relationship. She always made excuses as to why she could not make several of the mutually planned dates. Vic always thought she traveled a lot for her job. She was a secretary to Vic's best friend, Leroy. It was a job that Vic had helped her get. Although Vic had a feeling that Leroy and Barbara might be having a fling, he convinced himself otherwise and decided he was paranoid. It wasn't until the day of their wedding 2 weeks ago, when he was left at the altar, that he realized he should have addressed his concern in a more serious manner. Vic, who had been friends with Leroy longer than he had been friends with Barbara, was depressed beyond words. He watched his once-beloved girlfriend, Barbara, run away with his one of few friends, Leroy. When the heartbroken man asked why she did such a thing to him, all she could say was, "Leroy is more of a man than he could ever be." Those words have been ringing in Vic's head for the past 2 weeks since the incident. All he did since that time was drink and eat, thereby making him gain 20 more pounds to his already overweight body of 250. I got interrupted by a phone call from Deborah Pryor, a friend. Luckily for you, I had my part of the phone call recorded. "Hello, hi, how are you?" I said. "Oh yeah, I cannot make it tonight. How about we see each other tomorrow?" "Okay. Have a good night, mademoiselle." I also became aware of how late it was, so I called it the day and got ready to take the drive home to Neuilly, Paris. There is a reason I chose to start to tell you my story at this period. It was that my drive to Neuilly, one of the suburbs of Paris, started to become exceptionally liberating for me. Although marvelous sites of well-designed architectures such as Chateau de Neuilly and the richly enhanced regions in the city are worth my while, I was happy for a different reason. The reason for gaieties on my ride home from work is because I get to see the beautiful Miss Lauren Riesling again. Don't worry, you understand what I mean soon. Let me tell you about the first time we met. December 30, 1995 came with a breezy and sunny morning. It was a Sunday. I was at the Le Marché Biologique, an open street market that opened every month. The marketplace was a combination of farmers market and freshly baked delights. I saw a slim hourglass figure from afar. I got closer for a better look, and I was not disappointed. She was in a long, slim-fitted, beautiful blue dress. I remember that she had just gotten 3 fresh, sweet-smelling baked baguettes. I manipulated my way to get closer to her, and to my surprise, she was more astonishing than I thought. I loved the way she articulated her words as she spoke to the vendor. Her voice was tantalizing. Fortunately enough, there was an accident that made Miss Reisling almost drop one of her bags, especially the one with 3 pieces of long bread. I was able to grab hold of the bag just in time. We began a conversation. I always imagined someone I am acquainted with talked the way she did. That was a good day. I got home. I lived in a well-furnished high-rise apartment. Imagine a parlor that is all white-walled, contrasted by an all-night black granite, tiled ceiling and floor. The room was tastefully furnished with dark red furniture and low fluorescent lighting most of the time. The bedroom was nice too. For me, it was especially gratifying for the painting on the ceiling, depicting the creation of Eve that is ironically inspired by Michelangelo's famous creation of Adam. My thoughts of Lauren Reisling had me in the best of moods. I thought a lot about her captivating brown eyes and attractive smile. I still do, in fact. Her words to me were, "Merci, mon Dieu," which literally means, "Thanks, sir." And here's what I said. You might want to listen carefully. "No merci d'avoir ajouté de beauté à la place." Which translates to, "No, thank you for adding beauty to the place." That, my friend, is right timing. So I went back into the parlor to do what now was the highlight of my day. It was watching a live feed of Lauren Reisling's apartment. I had it installed during the time she was not home. I knew because I stalked her for a bit. I wanted to know what her daily schedule was like. Bypassing the house security system was relatively easy. I had to do a lot of those for my previous job. The day after our brief interaction together at the market, I followed her home. It was easy as she came to the market on the public bus. I followed the vehicle from a safe distance until she got off at another bus stop. I parked at a distance from her and watched with my powerful binoculars. She waved the bus goodbye and loudly said, "Merci beaucoup," which means, "Thank you very much." She then politely greeted the people by the bus stop and proceeded to take a seat. I felt an ecstatic rush within me as I watched the beautiful and perfectly mature woman gracefully place her curvy and well-rounded buttocks on the seat. My penis throbbed as she crossed her legs. I found myself imagining what her panties were like. I went with pink. It made me feel good. I prayed for an next bus to have an accident. I wanted to cry so I can get another moment of those long, beautiful, and well-shaped legs. I wished for a vehicle stumbling off the Nerelli Bridge so I could watch the lovely woman's pedicure. It tastefully matches our well, clear, polished nails. I hope the bus and its entire people explode in gory fire so I could watch that woman's chest move sensually. It was all the more pleasurable as the sexy wonder was not even trying. Well, unfortunately, the bus came in as scheduled. I was not unhappy as it made Lauren Reisling smile. I felt the butterfly effect in my abdomen as she smiled. To me, it was a different, amazing type of smile every single time thus far. She was a beautiful woman. I do not think I would be able to stress enough in this memoir the way her breasts and buttocks mixed together to emit an orgasmic explosion of the neurosensual kind as she walked. I followed the bus from 2 or 3 cars away. Always maintained as much as 500 feet away, Lauren got off, paid her respect, and began to walk home. She carried her bread carefully on one side as she began to walk. The way Lauren sways makes any straight man's manhood feel strong and adds sensual gratitude of sexual awakening. It was not safe to follow, but as I already knew most of her path, I did the rest of the search on the internet. I also already set my timer so I could make the necessary calculations. It was about 20 minutes away from the market and roughly 45 to my home. Over the weeks, when she was out of the house, I managed to get inside and did the necessary adjustment. I found the treasure, and I am not about to lose it, you know. Her home was a modernly built, beautiful white bungalow with a dark red door, which was decorated with a variety of flowers. I especially liked that ours was a well-polished, smoothly and well-done ceramic flooring. It went well with our wine-colored walls. She has paintings of what I thought was from the local around. It was nice. Our home was spacious and well designed. I was able to place a listening micro device on the add black leather chairs as it camouflaged perfectly in it. I placed my cameras away from where the lights could reflect. It was easy enough. As they say in some parts of the world, this is not my first rodeo. She was perfect, I tell you. I watched her all night sometimes, but most of the time it was until she fell asleep. I am unorthodox. Dare I say, criminally invading her privacy was for a good reason? I am only demonstrating my undying interest to her. Any girl would appreciate that. As soon as I switched off my TV, I turned on my computer to work on my book. But I always had a small window open at the top left corner of the computer. This allowed me to watch my beautiful Lauren sleep. Regardless, here was a continuation of the story. "Hey Vic, are you in there?" Vic's co-worker said, "This is Eric from work." Vic did not move an inch from where he sat. He barely heard his doorbell ringing. He had been sitting on the same spot for the last 2 weeks, getting up only to get food from his freezer and to order from Thai and Chinese restaurants. Vic still had on a shirt and trousers from his never-happened wedding. "Hi, Vic. I let myself in. The door was open." "Damn. Dude, you think as hell, man." "Eric," Vic's co-worker could barely finish his words, because of the stench he perceived as he entered Vic's two-bedroom apartment. Vic remained still and quiet as he stared at the television he hadn't changed since he sat on his couch. Eric noticed the takeout plates all around Vic's already messed up two-bedroom apartment. "Dude, look at you, man. This ain't right, fool. I know you went through hell, but this would not solve your problem, homeboy." Eric, who was a tall and nice-looking Latin American man, said as he was trying to comfort his co-worker. Dejected, Vic was surprised at Eric's behavior because they just recently became more than co-workers. "Hey, man. You will not feel any better if you lock yourself up in this place," Eric said, looking around before he finished his words. "Come on, let's go out tonight. You, me, and some big booties all up in our faces all night, bro." Vic's reaction were like he hadn't heard a word Eric had said. But he nodded his head and got up to what it seems like he would change clothes. "Holy shit, dude, even ass smells better than you right now, man. Damn," Eric exclaimed with a horrific look as soon as Vic got up. Vic did not care because he wasn't listening. His ex words still rang in his head as he walked into his room, then towards his bedroom, and finally into his bathroom. He took off his clothes, looked at himself in the mirror with tears rolling down his face. "At least I got my hair," whispering his first words since the incident. He then looked at himself and noticed his hair receding. "Fuck," he muttered. "Fuck," he said louder than the first time. Afterwards, Vic had a brief moment of silence with fast, angry breath taking. "Ha! Shit! Shit! Fuck! Ha!" It was 9:30 a.m. that morning on 23rd of January. I remember having slept soundly for about 3 hours. I was getting ready for the day. First, I had to make sure Lauren did not miss our 10 a.m. alarm. 2 days ago, she overslept. It almost ruined our whole day. I had to take day off to follow her. I needed to make sure everything was alright with her. Things I did for her, you know. I love exercising, but I had chosen to do it in the morning before, but towards 10 a.m. so as to make sure Miss Weisman woke up. It was as easy as installing a downloadable program on her main computer. I had to make her think she accidentally downloaded it, since she had a tendency to forget things like that. Once that part was taken care of, all I had to do was control her computer from mine to make sure the alarm goes off. The whole process of installing cameras and getting access to her electronics took me about a week. It was between the 10th and 15th of January. I strictly went an hour before noon and spent 2 hours every day that week in our apartment. Luckily for me, I am able to work around my schedule for that. 29th of January was a big day for me because of two reasons. It was a day closer to a chance of running into Miss Rison again at the same market. I knew she might have plans for going to the market that month. She had downloaded coupons for the event. Second reason was I had a special self-delivery planned for my favorite woman that morning.